I'd like you to open your Bibles with me and we'll bring the PowerPoint up. I'd like you to open your Bibles to the 84th Psalm. The 84th Psalm. And I want to talk to you this morning about how to turn your valleys into victories. We're in the dog days of summer, right? Yeah, the dog days. I don't know why they call it that. It's just because maybe the dogs go... But whenever we got to July and summer, July would always mean, as a little kid to me, it would mean cinnamon rolls. It would mean firecrackers and cherry bombs and bottle rockets. It would mean fishing poles and oar boats. And it would mean a long car trip to get there. Every year in July, my family would pack up for the annual Zenders reunion on July 4th on my grandma's property, Bass Lake, Michigan. And in Bass Lake, Michigan, we would all gather together, about 120 to 150 of us Zenders, and that's a pretty scary thing just to think of on its own. But we would leave every year, and we, you know, there's no way to get to Michigan by car. And that's when people used to go by car. How many people don't travel by car anymore? If you've ever moved from one point to another point, and you're on the road with your U-Haul or something, you don't see families going on family vacations anymore. That's why Stuckey's went out of business, for goodness sakes. They're bringing them back. Can anyone say amen to that? Anyway, yeah. How many remember Stuckey's in Divinity? It was holy. Anyway, there was no way to get to Michigan from California without going through the desert. And when we used to go as a kid early on, we didn't have AC. I remember one of the trips I can remember as a small child is my dad was in a 57 Plymouth Savoy. I thought that was kind of cool as a little kid because I thought it was actually a spaceship. You know, those were the ones with the wings on the back, you know? Except we didn't have AC in that car. And so because we had to go through the desert, the ritual was that night my dad would fill up the burlap water bag. Listen, guys, you're going, what in the world is he talking about? And not for the car. You've never seen him. And so you used to get these burlap water bags that you would fill up with water. You'd hang them on the front of the radiator on your car. And that would keep your radiator from overheating. Ooh, weird, huh? And we would fill up the burlap water bag, hang it on the radiator. Mom would get the ice chest, fill it up with ice and water, and throw in about 3 or 4 wash rags. We would all pile in the car at about midnight or 1 or 2 a.m., and we would begin to drive through the Sahara Desert. Is that right? In California, is it the Sahara? I can't remember. Whatever it is, the Mojave. Thank you. Not the Mojave. Hey, as a kid, it was the Sahara Desert, all right? It was bad. The Mojave Desert. The Sahara Desert. Thank you. I'm hanging in there. And we would drive through that to beat the heat, but I want to tell you something we never did. It was stinking hot. We were going through the valley. You know, I don't need to say much about the fact that there are valleys in our lives. And we all face them in different intensities. There are different struggles and events that happen that create the valleys that we have to go through. And we could talk about the valleys all day long. The reality is they happen. I don't care how old you are, how young you are, you've experienced some form of a valley in your life. But I don't want to dwell on valleys this morning. I want to dwell on how to take your valleys and turn them into victories. So I read Psalm 84, and all of a sudden, I felt like the Holy Spirit whispering some things into my ear, 3 things that I think will be really significant to help you. They're helping me, and I pray they help you. I want to give you 3 perspectives that can turn your valleys into victories. So 3 focal points that you can look to that hopefully will change things in whatever you're walking through right now. First of all, And let me develop this. Remember the beginning days of your first love. And this is, side note, this is a good tag on if you're married and your marriage needs revival. Remember the beginning days of your first love. Let me look at a couple scriptures with you this morning. Revelation chapter 2. I'm going to read all the verses. For space, I didn't print them all here, but it says, "To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil. You've tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and you found them to be liars. And you've persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary." Listen, before I read the rest of it, which is on the screen, this was not a slack church. This was not a church that wasn't doing anything. They were busy. They were engaged. But something had happened. Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I have this against you. You've left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you've fallen, repent, and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent." Now, Psalm 84. Let's look at the first four verses. "To the chief musician on an instrument of Gath." I looked that up, Eddie, and I couldn't really find out what that was. I thought it'd be kind of interesting. They don't really know. But Gath had some kind of instrument that was really unique. If you ever find out, let me know. "But in an instrument of Gath, a psalm of the sons of Korah. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." I like this. It says, "Even the sparrow." This has gotten me to rethink my attitude towards the barn swallows who are nesting in my porch. "Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. Oh, they will be still praising you, Selah." Now, the term Selah, again, those are one of the things that we're not really quite sure what that was. Many people think it was a pause in the moment of the verse or the song. And there are different opinions on that, but I'm going to use it as a pause this morning. The psalmist pauses. And I want to pause with these thoughts. Do you remember the days when you just met Jesus and you couldn't wait to get to the house of the Lord? You couldn't wait to worship. You couldn't wait until the band struck up the first chord. You couldn't wait until the sermon was preached. You couldn't wait until they called opportunities for prayer. You were just there. You were there and you were excited. Can you remember those days? Can you remember the days when you used to see everything in your life through possibilities? Because you knew, just like Jesus proclaimed, all things are possible to those who believe. And you were so filled with joy and so filled with faith and so filled with love and the love of God and this newness of this love that you just knew that God would see you through anything. And you felt invincible. Can you remember when you experienced the joy of jumping from victory to victory to victory to victory? That's not unusual for a new Christian. Think about it. When we just celebrated Ellie's first birthday, it's actually Tuesday, so happy birthday, Ellie, again. And I was noticing Ellie that she was actually enjoying her first birthday. And I think my daughter enjoyed hers, but I kind of remember Hannah just kind of going like this. And Ellie was partying, man. Ellie had it down. You know, she was just enjoying herself. And I thought to myself, do you remember? You know, and Ellie's going from victory to victory, folks. When you're a baby, you're getting the bottle. You're getting the food. You're getting the toys. You're getting the party. You're getting strolled around. You're getting carried all over the place. You're just going from victory to victory. You're not struggling for anything, are you? Some of you teens, you need to... That time's over, folks. I'm sorry. Your parents told me to say that. She goes, "What are you looking at me for?" Here's your money back. No. I'm just kidding. That's just a joke. Now, here's the temptation. And this is the first principle I want to give you. First, remember those days and avoid one thing. Avoid saying this to a new believer. How many of you have been a Christian for more than a year? Let me see your hands. Keep your hands up now. More than 5 years. Keep your hands up. More than 10 years. More than 20. More than 30. More than 40. Okay, we're the dangerous folks. We're the dangerous folks. We're the folks who could really just like mess it up for the young believers by coming up and saying, "Just wait. The valley is coming." We could be the people who had a wedding. They just cut the cake and they shove it into each other's face and go, "Oh, you're in love now. But just wait." Huh? Did you meet anybody like that? Have you? No, I'm not going to ask. Let me see the hands of, no. But the temptation is we forget our first love. We forget those beginning days. We forget those times of victory, unto victory, unto victory. We forget the unending grace that God poured upon us when we were just babies. Here's the irony of it. We can't stay babies. And the calling is to mature in Christ, but to always have the heart of an infant for Christ. Did you hear what I just said? We're called to mature in Christ. We're not called to be children all the rest of our lives, but we're called to have the childlike heart and faith always. So, principle number one in turning your valleys into victories is to remember the beginning days of your first love. Second, remember the reality, and this is a reality, all valleys are temporary. Now, every kid has said this to his parents. "Are we there yet?" And every parent has heard this if they've had more than one child. "You're on my side." So a trip, right? "She just touched my side. He just touched my side. That's mine. Are we there yet?" Sometimes I tell you, family vacations start out like heaven. And they quickly turn into not so much heaven. When we drove through the desert, I was whining and complaining because I don't do well in the heat. And I'd say, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet?" My mom would throw a wash rag in the back. "Here's a wash rag." I thought the valley would never end. Some of you are going through, and we're laughing, but you're going through some stuff that's really difficult. I mean, some stuff that emotionally or even physically has just almost like brought you down on the mat. You feel like you're down for the third count, and you're going to be out. But I want to tell you something. Valleys are all temporary. They don't last. Let's look at the scriptures. Psalm 84, 5 to 8. "Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob." Selah. Let's pause. The Valley of Baca. No one wants to be there. It literally means in the Hebrew weeping or lamentation. Literally, Bible scholars believe that there was an actual area in the desert that was named that, that Jews of the dispersion, those were the Jews who were scattered out from Jerusalem during both the Assyrian and Babylonian captivity, and they moved into the upper regions, that as they would come back to Jerusalem for the holy feasts, the three main feasts, they would have to travel through this valley. And so literally, there is believed to be a valley, but no one really can say this is the actual valley. Figuratively, people of God have seen this as times of sorrow, times of loss, and times of weeping. And just because we're believers, we don't escape the Valley of Baca in our lives. There are those today who will teach that if you follow these seven principles, if you give this offering, if you do this, you can rise above the Valley of Baca and walk above it all. And I want to tell you something. I have never met that person. In fact, I've read the autobiographies of some of the lives of people who claim, not the person themselves claiming that they escaped the valley, but the way that people apply their teachings, they imply that they escaped the valley. And when you read their real life stories, you see they went through the valley. Amy Semple McPherson led a mighty revival from 1923 to 1933 in the city of Los Angeles. And literally, it lasted 10 years. The Azusa Street Revival only lasted 2 years, folks. For 10 years, there was an outpouring out of Los Angeles, Angeles Temple in Los Angeles. People were miraculously healed. It's been documented. 325 churches were planted in that 10-year period of time of that great revival. And yet, if you read the story of Amy Semple McPherson's life, you see that she had to walk through uncountless times the Valley of Baca. But the Bible says that those who know the Lord, they don't dwell there, they make it a spring. I like that. It doesn't really say, listen to me. Now we know it all, everything comes from God and every good gift comes from God. But it doesn't say they just are in the valley and then God just makes. They said the people who are going through the Valley of Baca, they make it a spring. You know, there are things that you can do in your life that place you in the position to receive God's grace. It doesn't mean you earn it, but it places you in the position. Okay, so I'm going to be sorry if I don't have a small bill here. I do. Yeah, this is small. So, and I'm going to let one of these guys keep it right here. But I've got this dollar bill here, and I'm going to hold it out. Now, any one of you can have that. It's available to any one of you. Any one of you four. Does anyone want it? Nobody wants it. Okay, wait, stay there. Stay there, Joel. Joel just placed himself in the position to receive the blessing. He didn't earn it. All he did was place himself in the position where it was available. You can sit down, you can keep it. These other guys go, he's really letting me keep it? Dog, they said if it was a 10, I would have got up. Okay. I know the teenage mind. What's a dollar today, right? It's like holding out a penny. You can't buy anything for a dollar, not even a Starbucks. I'm telling you. All right. In a literal desert, in the Valley of Baca, the patriarchs dug wells throughout the desert. They were stone wells that were dug and created so that when the infrequent rainfall that fell would fall, it would gather together into these wells and it would hold water so that the traveler through the desert could find these wells and draw water out of the wells where there was no water. In our spiritual desert, we can find strength and healing, perspective and encouragement when we learn how to cry upon God, out to God in prayer, when we learn how to direct our hearts toward Him in the time of our deepest sorrow and need. So I want to break down those verses 5 to 8 and kind of give you a few of the principles here. First of all, the first one. Verse 8 says, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. You know, I just realized I had notes for you and I didn't print them. Anyway, cool. He calls upon the Lord in his hour of sorrow and need. So the first way we position ourselves to receive the grace of God and turn the Valley of Baca into springs is by calling upon the Lord. Calling upon the Lord. Crying out to him. That's prayer, but it's more than that. It's just opening our hearts and saying, God, we need you. As those who gathered around the altar were doing this morning. Verse 5a says, blessed is the man whose strength is in you. This person who positions himself in such a way that it turns these desert areas into springs is a person who keeps his trust anchored in the Lord. Some men trust in chariots, and some men trust in horses, but we will trust in the Lord our God. We keep our trust anchored in the Lord. If you're a boat person, if you've ever sailed or been on a boat or a rowboat or a powerboat or whatever kind of boat you are in, how many of you know an anchor is very important? Verse 5b says, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Now that, what can you get out of that? Let me tell you, they didn't stop seeking the Lord. They didn't stop going after the Lord. Three times a year, they were called and asked to leave wherever they lived and journey to Jerusalem for the high feasts. Three times a year. And those who sought God and turned their valleys of Baca into springs, they set their heart on pilgrimage. That meant they kept seeking God. They kept seeking God. They kept seeking God. They kept seeking God. Well, we went to the feast of Passover, and I didn't like the music, and the message didn't speak to me, so I'm not going to go to the Feast of Tabernacles. Forget Pentecost. That was a bust last time, too. They got the same speakers last year. Do you hear me, folks? They set their heart on pilgrimage. Verse 7a says, they go from strength to strength. The Bible promises us, no matter what we're going through, that we will be strengthened by might in the inner man through the ministry and indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you, God doesn't want us to be languishing out there. Even in the midst of the Valley of Baca, we can go from strength to strength. If we'll call upon the Lord, if we'll keep our anchor hooked to him and our trust anchored to the Lord. If we will set our mind to seek the Lord, we will find strength in our inner man. And finally, I love this one, the last one, verse 7b, everyone appears before God in Zion. The time of your valley traversing will come to an end. They make it to Jerusalem. They make it to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem for you is your breakthrough. Jerusalem for you is the point of grace intersecting and intervening in your life and setting you free. The Bible says and promises us that all valleys are temporary. And finally, remember the promise. God rewards those who diligently seek him. Now, you say, well, that just sounds like you're repeating yourself. I'm not, really. Hold on just a second. I want to show you a verse that you're very familiar with. I want to read all this verse because I couldn't get it all on the screen in one screen. It says, "Why?" Listen to the context of a very familiar verse behind you. Why do you say, O Jacob? Why do you speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by God. Have you ever felt that way? God doesn't understand. He's not watching me. He doesn't care. He's not involved in my life. He's just passing over. He's helping everybody else. When you're going through the valley, don't you just hate hearing a testimony of someone who just got blessed? Oh, God just blessed me. Oh, praise God. Maybe you don't have a job. I just got a new job. Hallelujah. And you're sitting there going, yeah, well, where's my job, Lord? You know, pass right over me again. Passing over me again. You know, he says, why do you say, Jacob? Why do you speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My just claim is passed over by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he never faints, he never grows weary, his understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths faint and become weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is a whole message within itself. I can't preach it this morning, but let me just say, here's what people think about waiting. What are you doing? I'm waiting for the Lord. Has he come yet? Uh-uh. What are you going to do? I'm going to keep waiting. That's not what it means. The Hebrew word translated wait means to be intertwined, bound together. Those who are intertwined, those who are bound together with the Lord, they're the ones who renew their strength. You see, God rewards those who diligently seek him. 2 Corinthians 4, 16-18. Therefore, don't lose heart. Even though your outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We don't look at the things that are seen. We look at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. God is doing it even when we can't see it. Closing thoughts. Worship team, come on up here. You say, he's going to get me out on time because he's got a plane to catch. Closing thoughts. Psalm 84, 9 to 12 gives us some closing thoughts. Let me give you the first one. Stay planted in the family of God. Stay planted in the family of God. I've gone through a lot of people. When you're a pastor, they think you've been a pastor all the time. Well, I've been in the ministry all my life since I was 18 and gave my life to Christ. I've been ministering in prisons and in churches. I've pastored four churches. But there's been times when I haven't been the senior pastor, and I've been out of ministry as far as a role of being a pastor in a church, and I'm still bivocational. I still do two jobs. And I want to tell you that I went through times in my life during the time when I wasn't a pastor. In fact, I had to resign as a pastor at a church, not because of moral failure, but because I had just let life misdirect my priorities, and I neglected my marriage. That is a moral failure, in the sense that Karen and I faced some very, very strong difficulties that almost caused our marriage to dissolve because of my neglect. I'm taking responsibility for it. I was doing the things of ministry. I was helping everyone else and neglecting my own wife. And so I was messed up. And our relationship was messed up. And I had a choice. I could either stay in the ministry and end up getting divorced, and then what testimony would that be? Or I could resign and rebuild my marriage and trust the Lord for my future. And I chose to resign properly. And for the next 14 years, I didn't pastor church, folks. For the next 14 years, I wasn't a pastor. And for a big hunk of it at the beginning of those 14 years, I was a mess. And I would walk in to a building like this where I would sit down where you're sitting. And if anyone saw what was really inside of me, they probably would have said, you're not welcome here. That's what I thought. I was a bloody, messy pulp of destructed mass inside. When they started singing the songs, I didn't feel anything. When the pastor preached the sermon, I didn't get anything. But I knew something deep within my spirit. I knew that if I was going to be restored, and if my marriage was going to be restored, and if Karen and I were ever going to have a future together, first as husband and wife, and as friends, and then later as a team, working in the ministry of the Lord. Notice I said team, because we weren't a team before. It was me doing my thing and expecting Karen to follow along. I'd have to stay in the boat, folks. You know what I mean? I had to go where the grace of God was being poured out. I had to go where the word of God was being preached. I had to go where the Spirit of God was moving. I had to go where grace was available. I had to be there even though I didn't feel it, even though I didn't see it, even though I didn't understand it. I knew I needed to stay in the house of the Lord, and they needed to carry me along the way until I got better. Look at the verse. It says, oh God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in tents of wickedness. I see so many times when people struggle, they get disappointed in life, they go through the valley of Baca, they run out to the valley of destruction. That's exactly what Satan wants you to do. When there's a weak little lamb and he gets separated from the flock, that's the little lamb that the wolf eats. I thought about that. Can I just a little side note here? This was a revelation to me on the way here as I was driving. It's like, guys, is this right? I'm driving, I'm thinking about that. I go, poof. Here's what the church does. Hopefully not this church, but I'm just speaking the church in general. When one of those wounded little sheep wander away, there she goes, or there he goes again. Well, he'll learn his just deserts out there. He'll learn, or she'll learn, that, you know, just they're going to get whipped out there, but they left the fold. How many of you think that the sheep who are healthy shouldn't contend for the wounded sheep that's starting to wander away? I think this is what should happen. The little wounded sheep starts going out, and the healthy sheep, hi, let's go back. It's fellowship dinner. Oh. Hi, let's go back. Bible study time. Let's go out to Starbucks for the non-missionary cup of coffee. Sometimes my mind scares me. Yeah, thank you. I don't know where I'm going sometimes. But don't you think that the healthy sheep should be contending for the wounded sheep? Huh? Second closing thought. Receive his all-sufficient grace. Do you know that for everything you're going through, for every problem, I don't care how big, how deep, how wide it is, we said, how does the verse, my God is stronger, it says, so let the whatever come in and all that stuff. My God is stronger, right? Amen. Let it all come in. My God is stronger. God has all-sufficient grace for us. Look at Psalm 84. 11, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. That doesn't mean perfectly. That means who are directed toward pilgrimage. They're seeking the Lord. And finally, third point is keep trusting in the Lord. Psalm 84:12 says, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. And I want to close with this verse. I don't know, did I print this? No, I didn't. Let me just read this verse. And I'm gonna. Is it all right if I change one thing about this verse and I don't change the actual meaning of the verse? Can I just change one word? I'll tell you what it is. Psalm 37:23-26 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he falls, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Here's where I'm going to change it. The psalmist writes, I've been young and I'm now old. Can I just say, I've been young and I'm now older? But I want to tell you, in all of my life, in my life, and the life of those that I've seen who have made God their diligent search and desire, this is what I've learned. I've never seen them forsaken. I've never seen the descendants of God begging for bread. For his merciful, he is ever merciful, he lends, and his descendants are always blessed. Let's stand as we close. Let's worship as we close.
I thirst for you like a desert. I'm dry and used. and my heart is in need of you now more than before. And I dream of you, if your presence were all I knew, I'd have nothing but more of you. So I bring my heart here and say, wash me away, wash me away. Come cut through my soul, take all that is old, make me new today. Pour over my life till I'm not satisfied in this life that I'm. I thirst for you, like a desert I'm dry and used, and my heart is in need of you, now more than before. And I dream of you, if your presence were all I knew, I'd be nothing. I bring my heart here and say, wash me away,
wash me away,
wash me away,
wash me away.
Come fly to my soul, take all that is old, take me near, oh dear.
Hearts with me. Father, that's the cry of our heart this morning, that you'd wash us away so that you can live in us and through us. Lord, we all go through times, and whatever you're going through right now, let me just remind you again, and this is a word from the Lord, your valley is only temporary. That God is coming with all sufficient grace so that you can turn your valley of Baca into springs in the desert. His grace is sufficient. His love has been declared on the cross of Calvary. His faithfulness has been guaranteed through the indwelling presence of His Holy Spirit in your life. He wrote a letter to you called the Bible, where every day He wants to read and plant seeds of life into your heart and give you strength. When I held that dollar bill out to the four youth in the front row, they all hesitated. And sometimes we hesitate when God extends His all-sufficient grace out to us because we're afraid. But don't be afraid of the loving Creator of the universe. Don't be afraid of the hands that were nailed to a tree for your redemption. Don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit of truth that comes and always whispers comfort and encouragement and unveils the reality of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let those desert places be transformed this morning into living springs. In Jesus' name. I'm going to ask the altar prayer team members who are here to come forward. I'm going to dismiss you with a blessing. And if you need additional ministry and prayer this morning, they will be up here to minister to you and to pray for you. And I'm going to ask Carol just to continue to play as we dismiss. And there can be fellowship out in the lobby. If you are visiting, we do welcome you and ask you to fill out that welcome card. I think I forgot about Mary. But Mary will be out in the lobby also for our care ministry to help with meals, because we care about all of the sheep, those who are struggling, those who have needs. And there's a care minister in our church, and she needs people who are willing to mobilize to help in those times of need. So she'll be out there. But receive the blessing of the Lord this morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift his countenance upon you and grant you peace. 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 In Jesus' name. Be blessed. If you need prayer, come forward. I'm sorry I'm not able to hang around, but email me, text me, call me. I love you. God bless you.